Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to continue to talk about the elements from Jesus' teaching, the Sermon on the Mount, this life-changing teaching. And I hope you have time to be able to take up the scripture sometime in these days and to just get some quiet time. Great place to go would be to go to a Eucharistic chapel somewhere. Find a Catholic church that has one, maybe near your work or near your home, and grab a Bible, bring it with you. Sometimes they have them right there in the chapels. They often do. And just go to Matthew chapter 5 and read Matthew chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7. Just read them slowly and ask the Holy Spirit to put within you this wisdom and this light and this teaching that Jesus is communicating to you, because this is so important. It is the definition of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. It's the lifestyle of what it means to live out the great commandment, the very purpose for which you were made, to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. I want to continue to talk about something today. I want to talk about that famous passage in Matthew chapter 7. It says, "Judge not that you be not judged." It's a passage that's, I think, one of the most misunderstood passages in the entire Bible. But before I do, I just want to mention a few things. I often neglect to do this. But first of all, just to say a little bit about our work at Renewal Ministries. That's who I work for, and that's why I'm doing the radio show in part. It's part of the work that we do. You can find out more about the work that we're doing, about my show, Sister Ann Shields' show, Food for the Journey, our television shows, The Choices We Face, as well as Crossing the Goal. They're on our website at renewalministries.net. There's a lot of great stuff there. You can also get access at all through our Renewal Ministries app, which you can get on the website as well. You can download it or just go to the App Store and get it. You can listen to the radio shows at any point in time. There's also a lot of wonderful free stuff there that can encourage you in your walk in Christ. Free booklets, our newsletter articles are there, back issues, which are quite inspiring, stories of the mission work that we're doing with our teams, good teaching by Sister Ann Shields, Ralph, our country coordinators, my wife Debbie, Peter Burak, Joy McCoy, the whole team of people that are gathered at Renewal Ministries. And I think if you do, just browse it, there'd be a blessing to you. And if you feel somehow called, you want to be a part of some of our short-term missions, there's information on the website about where we're going, what we're doing, and how you can be a part of it. I also want to mention something we're very excited about coming up in May of 2020. The year 2020 is our 40th anniversary of being together in Renewal Ministries and the mission that began with Ralph Martin and just grew over the last 40 years, and we're just grateful and amazed. And so what we decided to do was to take a pilgrimage to the footsteps of St. Paul and want to invite our friends and supporters. And I know some of you have been very faithful listeners to Sister Ann Shields' program, to my program, and have walked with us over these years. And I'd like to invite you to consider joining us. All the information for the pilgrimage is on our website at Renewal Ministries, right on the front page. You can get it, just click on it. You'll get all the information, but we've never done the footsteps of St. Paul, which is one of the reasons we're choosing to do it. And we've been chewing a lot on Paul's teaching over the last few years as well. So we'll do 8 days of a pilgrimage and then an optional 3-day cruise afterwards. And the pilgrimage will include, you know, 3 nights in Thessaloniki, Kalambaka, Delphi, and Athens. We'll be in those locations. And then we're also going to be on the cruise. We're going to be private tours of Ephesus, Patmos, and Crete. So we just want to go in Thanksgiving. We're going to go, we'll probably have no more than just a couple of buses. So if you're interested in thinking about it, you might want to register as quickly as you can. Just because we want to have a little bit of a smaller group of people who are going, so it has a little more of an intimate feel. And we really do want it to be a prayerful celebration, a celebration of what God has done, but also very excited about where the Lord is leading us in the days ahead. And we just feel called to keep gathering more brothers and sisters to join us as we try to radically walk out the challenge of the gospel in this amazing time that we're living through as a people. So if you want more information on it, just go to our website. God bless you. So I want to look at, as I said, the beginning of chapter 7. Now remember, Matthew 5 and 6 is Jesus' fundamental teaching, and, you know, bleeding into 7 as well, but his fundamental teaching on how to walk out the great commandment to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And those 2 chapters, 5 and 6, Jesus ends with chapter 6 by saying, remember, don't worry about what you're supposed to eat, drink, or wear. Your Father knows these things, and you're not alone. You're not isolated. You're not a slave. you are a child of God. If you're baptized into Jesus, you are now a child of God. St. John the Apostle said, he gave us power to become children of God. It's worth noting, everybody, every human being is not, strictly speaking, in the way John was talking about, a child of God. Everybody's made in the image and likeness of God, and God loves everyone, no question about it. But he sent his Son to deal with the separation between God the Father and each one of us. We're not automatically his children because we're separated because of the fall, because of sin. And the God who loves us, for God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him would not die but have everlasting life. The Father wants us to have everlasting life with him forever. That's his heart toward every single human being. But it's not an automatic. And what we're talking about here, the children of God, as Scripture speaks about it, are those who are now baptized into Christ, those who are called into covenant, those who've said yes and repented of their sins and have been brought from death to life by being united to the death and resurrection of Jesus and walking in his footsteps and teaching. And so Jesus is giving the exhortation to those who are children of God. He says, the Gentiles who are not, were not yet children of God, are filled with anxiety and fear. He said about these things, but you're a child. He said, don't be afraid, don't be anxious, but do this. Seek first the kingdom of God and his way of holiness, and everything else will be added unto you. Now that follows the two chapters in which Jesus defines what holiness looks like, what it means to be a radical follower of Jesus, what it means to seek God first, and what it means to fulfill the first commandment. And so he's saying to us, look, you can take this to the bank. If you seek God first with your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and his way of holiness, his way of life, the lifestyle that's revealed in the person of Jesus, everything will be added to you. Everything that you need will be given to you. That's a promise right from the Lord. It's life-changing. And friends, it's worth just meditating in your own life, in your own heart. Is this a decision I made? Am I living this way? Am I seeking Jesus first? Do I even know what that looks like? If you're not sure, take up the Scripture and start reading in chapter 5 of Matthew's Gospel, and Jesus lays it out. And then look at the teaching of the apostles and how they lived their lives. And as St. Paul said, imitate me as I've imitated Christ. And understand that you've been given the Holy Spirit, because you can... Sometimes hearing teaching like this, we can get discouraged and we don't know what to do. And Paul says, wait a minute, test your faith. Do you realize, do you remember that you're a temple of the Holy Spirit? That God lives in you. There's the game changer right there. The power of God, the life of God, the person of the Lord himself. He's given himself to you to bring you home. So, all you need to do is turn to him, to seek him, to put him first, to say, Jesus, help me every morning throughout the day. Jesus, help me find you. Help me hear you. Help me obey you. Give me a hunger that I don't have. Give me a passion that I don't have. Help me feel your presence at times. And I mean, faith is not all about feeling, that's for sure. But he does want us, you know, he was human like us. He wants us to know his love. He wants us to experience his love so we can be transformed by that love. It's not just a mind thing. It's a whole person, a whole humanity reality. So then Jesus said, therefore, don't be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Let the day's own trouble be sufficient for the day. How many of us are anxious both about the past? I can be troubled by my past. The devil can circle around occasionally, get me off balance and get me preoccupied with mistakes I made in the past, to want me to get into some kind of a perpetual guilt trip, or to do something that's to pick up against something that's been forgiven, that's been dealt with, that the Lord has set me free from. Well, the devil, he knows we've been set free from it, and we're walking differently in it, but he wants to prick our pride and come back and say, man, can you believe you did that? Can you believe you treated those people that way? Or do you believe you really thought that way? And try to heap up guilt and fear and anxiety. Or the future. Am I going to have enough money? Am I going to have enough retirement? Is there going to be anybody there who loves me as time goes on? Is life going to work for me? Will I be a success? Will I be recognized? Will I be forgotten? Am I going to get cancer? Are my kids going to be okay? And As you know, it doesn't take long for us human beings to get all wound up in fear and anxiety about the unknown. And Jesus is saying that's the condition and the habit of people who don't have a loving father, who don't know God as father, and don't know their own value before God. And they're beaten down with lies, maybe lies that were part of your home life growing up, lies of a tough relationship with a spouse, lies of the enemy coming at you. You're not going to make it. You're not enough. You're not good enough. You're not smart enough. You're going to be left behind. You're a nobody. You're left out. Just all the lies, all the tapes. Don't dialogue with the devil. Don't listen to him. Jesus is saying, listen to my Father. Listen to my words. Come into our truth. Walk with us. And let the Spirit of truth transform your heart. So then Jesus moves on from don't be anxious, stay focused on the right things. Then he says, judge not that you be not judged. And this is a line, a one-liner, that is abused constantly in the culture today. You know, I mean, some people have taken Pope Francis's line, who am I to judge? I have to admit, it's a little confusing the way we put it, but they've taken it and just run with it. And to say, okay, what that means is no one is supposed to make any judgments. And what it usually means is no judgments about the moral life, about anybody else. That we must be in a posture of being tolerant of everyone's choices about their own moral life and their moral existence. It's kind of part of the cultural relativism thing, that who are you to say that yours is better than mine? But also, you know, who are you to say that you can judge someone? Didn't Jesus say, you know, judge not lest you be judged? Let me just read the whole passage and we'll circle back and start to talk about it a little bit today. We're going to have to finish tomorrow. But he said, judge not that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And the measure you give will be the measure you get. Jesus' teaching is so clear and it's so strong. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is a log in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. So Jesus expects us to be in a position with a brother to help him take the speck out of his eye. So the scriptures says in many places that we are supposed to judge. Of course we're supposed to judge. Judgment is simply evaluating what we're supposed to approve or not, what's good, what's not good, what's true and what's false. I mean, we make judgments all the time, but the culture, because of its mad and radical commitment to certain immoral ideas, mostly the sexual revolution, everything that comes out, most everything that comes out of it, those are all untouchables. And the lies that somehow whatever people design or whatever we decide, whatever the behavior is absolutely fine and good, and no one should ever cast judgment on others. And so what Jesus is after here, in summary here at the end of the program, I'll do this in more detail tomorrow, is to say Jesus expects us to make the right judgments. But he wants us to do it in the right way, with the right heart, with the right tenderness and compassion, but with the right clarity, with both truth and mercy. He expects us to judge, and I'll show passages tomorrow that's so clear that it's a normal part of the Christian life. But you cannot judge a person's motive or their ultimate destiny, but you must judge the works and the fruits. It's all part of the economy of God and what he expects from each and every one of us. Friends, I hope you can tune in tomorrow. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, Why Be a Christian? Lots of people are asking that question today, and Ralph speaks candidly of how he found in Christianity the truth. I believe this booklet will strengthen and encourage you in your own faith. For your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.